Hey there, Mike Stelzner coming to you with a fascinating update you might not be familiar with. Did you know that Social Media Examiner can deliver all the marketing training, news, and trends, insights that you need into your inbox 3 days a week when you sign up for our newsletter, and it's completely free? Simply visit socialmediaexaminer.com/getupdates and take your marketing to the next level.
Welcome to the Marketing Agency Show, where we explore solutions to the biggest challenges faced by agencies.
Hey, y'all. Thank you so much for joining me for the Marketing Agency Show, brought to you by Social Media Examiner. I'm your host, Brooke Sellis, and this is the show for agency owners and agency marketers. We explore the topics that no one else is talking about, so pull up a seat to the table and let's have a great conversation. Today, I'll be joined by Suzanne Block, and we'll be talking about how to make your pipeline perfect. Well, close to perfect. Also, if you're new to this podcast, be sure to follow the show so you don't miss any of our future content. Let's transition over to this week's guest, Suzanne.
To help explore the frontier of working at and growing agencies, here is this week's expert guide.
Hey, everybody. Today, I'm super thrilled to be joined by Suzanne Block. If you don't know Suzanne, she's the co-founder of Shape and Scale. And as a communications and a public relations strategist, she loves helping B2B technology companies achieve growth, brand elevation, and media relations. Suzanne, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
I am really excited to talk to you because if you've been listening or watching the show for a while now, I'm the salesperson. Like, yes, I have the same title as you, but truly what that means is I do all of the sales for B Squared. So any topic on sales or pipeline, I'm 100,000,000% in, and I cannot wait to hear all of your wisdom about diversified pipelines. So very excited. But just so the audience can get to know you and your company a little bit, let's start with the first question, which is, what made you decide to jump into this crazy world of agency ownership and do your own thing?
Yeah, because it was never my dream, I will say, to like own my own business in general or own my own agency. So I had been in agencies my entire career. I started big agency and then went to like mid boutique size. And like worked myself up to the VP level at a mid-sized boutique agency. And then like, I think during that time, especially around the pandemic, when everyone was remote and we're all just trying to figure everything out, I like became really good kind of colleagues with my business partner now, who was the VP in another division. Like he ran digital marketing. And I feel like we were both just really feeling a lot of the same pressures of constant hiring, constant firing, constant client retainment, constant like professional development, and then ourselves performing as well and trying to grow in our own career. And it just felt like there were so many things at play, so many pressures coming at us so consistently. And it was just starting to be a little bit exhausting, in all honesty. And we started to feel like we want to focus on these specific things. We want to grow our skill sets in these specific ways. And they were very aligned with one another. And so it started to be like, well, could we do this? Like, could we build something our own, call it our own, have more autonomy over what we're creating and the way that we're servicing and who we decide to work with? And it just kind of all came together. Like, it all started as kind of like a joke in a way. Like, if we could do this ourselves, it would be this way or that way. And then it just was like, well, wait, why not? Like, why can't we do this ourselves? So it started out of a pressures and then really began to work itself into more of like a creative, like if we could create our own utopian consultancy, what would that look like?
That's such a great answer because I feel like we're over 40 shows in now. And I feel like this is the answer a lot of people give, right? It was like, well, I wasn't expecting to, but I started to say like, what if? And then all of a sudden, here we are, which is, I think, very cool. So let's talk about the clients who you serve. What kind of clients do you serve? I'm assuming they're B2B technology companies, but I'll let you tell us.
Yeah. So B2B tech, I would say primarily SaaS, but I do like infrastructure as well. But there's a focus in terms of size. I would say pre-seed all the way up to like Series C, Series D. We do have one enterprise client, but yeah, I would say like Series A, B, C is like where the majority of our portfolio sits.
Nice. And how's that going right now? I mean, the tech landscape, I'm sure if you're listening now, it's February of 2024, in case you're binging or you're listening later. And there's been some, what are they calling it? Quiet firings and some restructuring going on in the tech world. Are you feeling that?
Yeah, and not even so quiet, I would say. Like it's, you know, like quiet and not so quiet. So it's so funny that we're talking about diversified pipeline right now, because I will say my personal pipeline is looking thinner than it has probably ever. So I just want to be honest about that and not seem as though my pipeline is like this robust portfolio that probably when folks are listening now may also be feeling the pressures. I have talked to a lot of other agencies, a lot of other consultancies at my size, and everyone is in this boat. Like, this feels kind of unprecedented. So maybe you'll learn some things today that are like, you know, tips and tricks to start to revive it, to kind of keep it going, but it's all short term. So tech is having a hard time right now. My pipeline is slower, but like I'm still just kind of chugging along and trying to like make it as diversified as possible to help us to continue to grow.
Yeah, that's great support. I feel like, you know, like if for us, the pipeline's doing well in Q1 right now, but we're not necessarily going after tech clients. But gosh, last year, oh, I was just like the little sickliest, like weakest little puny pipeline. I was not very happy. So again, I'm really excited to talk with you today. So let's start off by, can you explain to everybody who's watching or listening why a diversified pipeline is essential for the health and the stability of agencies?
So as you were talking about a little bit earlier, there are so many like macroeconomic pressures of each sector, whether it's tech or consumer or health or whatever, that just go up and down. So when you maintain a diversified pipeline, you have this opportunity to meet your own goals, whether it's hiring or financial or what have you. So I think it's very hard for any of us to predict when your target niche or market or vertical is going to go up and is going to go down. And so I think the more diversified, the more likely you are to feel like you have opportunity within your business and you are not kind of sticking to the pressures, you would say, of the clients that come and go. My business partner, his name's Pasha Irashad. He's based in Washington, D.C. He's in revenue operations. I'm in communications. Those that don't understand RevOps, it's a very new emerging term. It's a connection of sales and marketing where we're talking about processes and technology that align sales and marketing. And we were talking about a client that we're trying to retain. We're trying to retain really hard, but there is internal pressures, internal new hires that may bring in their own relationships. Like we've all heard this story, right? It's worse at times. We're just kind of like at liberty to staff changes and that's how it goes. And so he said to me, and it was just so poignant, do you think when the day that we start the agency and the day that we end this agency in the future, whenever that is, hopefully very far off, we're going to have the exact same clients? Absolutely not. Clients come and clients go. It's part of it. So yes, we can mourn the loss of a client. That never feels great, especially if they are a prominent one in your revenue generation model. But what I can say is like, it is inevitable. So the more you can maintain a pipeline and not feel that insane pressure and uncomfortableness as your own business owner when clients come and go, the better.
That is surely sound advice. And I'm already loving this talk because RevOps, as you mentioned, is kind of a newer term, but I think it's so important that marketing and sales are aligned, that they have synergies between them, that they work with other departments. And one of the other things that you said about your audience and the macroeconomics of it all, we have a hard audience to market to regardless of what's going on. Even if the market has perfect conditions with some of our services, the audience is like wonky. So I think having a diversified pipeline is just necessary no matter what, right? Like if you've got a crazy audience or you've got an easy audience or the market's fine or if it's not fine, like it's just something you should focus on regardless. So what are the first steps? If I'm an agency looking to like really start to think about diversifying my pipeline, what are the first steps that I should take when I'm looking to be a little bit more diversified in building out my pipeline?
Yeah, absolutely. So myself, I have a two-person consultancy. So everyone is responsible for business development and for sales and for networking in that sense. However, if there are folks listening that have more than that, have bigger agencies than that, I would say the first, very first step is identify who is responsible for business development and who is not responsible for business development. And I only say that because in my previous life at larger agencies, it was kind of not really clear. Like it was like roles were not delegated, were not identified. And also it was just kind of like a kudos. Like if you were to get involved in business development or express an interest in business development earlier in your career, I think it's very much tied to like the finances and the money, right? Like who's ever bringing in the money gets the kudos. And that makes sense in that structure. But that's just my first tip is like, if you have folks internally that are not responsible for business development, that's fine. But those who that are, identify what you want them to be responsible for, whether it is bringing in new leads, generating ideas, keeping track of trends that are coming and going that you want to partake in and add to your portfolio. Whatever that is, just please identify it so that you can have an organized, structured program.
Yeah, I love that.
Then second, I personally think is like, identify where you are comfortable generally networking. So we have general networking events, right? Things like cocktail hours or things that are, there's an event, there's a panel of speakers, and then there's a cocktail event type after, like a networking situation after. There's one-on-one coffees and interactions. Then there's previous clients, right? Previous colleagues. Then there's social media. If you yourself are on LinkedIn or Instagram or TikTok, being kind of like an influencer in your own space or in your own agency, that kind of thing. Of course, networking groups and then growth with existing clients. Like those are kind of, in my mind, the streams. I'm sure there are a bunch more that I'm missing, but in my mind, those are the streams of like how we can network, meet new people, create relationships that do turn into sales. My top tip, aside from that first one of like identifying a responsibility, is like go where you are comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
So what I will say personally for me is like walking into a room of other PR people that's a massive networking cocktail hour situation. It's horrible. Like for me, that's like so anxiety producing, but one-on-one coffee, not a problem. Like that is where I personally feel more comfortable. I feel like I'm going to develop a deeper relationship and I can get deeper with someone there. So maybe one, and it just so happens that my business partner and I feel comfortable in those complete opposite scenarios. He's happy to walk into a conference or a cocktail hour and cruise around, right? And like schmooze around. And so you just have to go where you are comfortable because you are in the selling mode and it might not be your direct personality type. It may feel uncomfortable to you because like you're there to meet people. You're there to potentially gain new clients. It can be like a little bit uncomfortable putting on your sales hat, your networking hat, your subject matter expert hat. So if you are already comfortable in the arena that you are in, you will project so much more confidence and capability in your direct like arena and it will turn into a much better outcome.
Yeah, I think that's fantastic. And how lucky you are that your partner is good at the schmoozing. I would also say if any of you who are listening are solopreneurs or are like me, where yes, we may have a team of people, but nobody else does like sales or biz dev. One of the things that we do every now and again, and you've just made me think, Susie, I'm like, oh, we need to do this again, is we offer our team like bonuses, right? So like, hey, if there's anybody in your network that you know who is looking for social media customer care and you bring them to the B Squared table, we'll give you $500 just for bringing them to us. But if they close, we'll give you another $500 or $1,000, whatever it looks like, just to try to help. It's really networking, but we're paying for it, I guess.
That's brilliant. No, that's absolutely brilliant. At my previous agency, they like kind of had a similar kind of financial bonus instructive, but it like never really got completed. So it wasn't great, but I will say it was like, I think it was 10% of the retainer if it closes for the first 3 months. So it wasn't nothing. Like, it was, you know, especially the larger retainer, all of that, like the more incentive. And so I think if you can offer, I love the idea of bringing in just a lead, because leads are so helpful, right? It doesn't always have to close. I love that you guys do that. And it really is, it's a really solid incentive, especially for folks that are maybe more junior, that like aren't so, you know, involved in the business development process.
Yeah. So going off of that, the market's always changing, right? We just talked about, like, for tech, it's marketing. I don't know if, again, if you're watching or listening, it's February and UPS just laid off their CMO, right? They were like, we don't need a CMO anymore. Like, wow. So this is what's happening out in the market right now. So as the market changes, whether it's drastic or great or a little bit, how do you assess new market opportunities and determine if they're a good fit for your agency's pipeline?
Yeah. So for me, it really comes down to two things. Of course, I'm going to set aside budget for a second, because I feel like budget, it's like we can scale up to meet needs. Usually each consultancy or agency kind of has a cap on how low they're willing to take on. And sometimes that can get a little bit, you know, you can work with something, especially if you have a slow pipeline and you've had some attrition, you can work with that. So let's just set budget aside for a second. Assessing new clients for me is two things. And again, I'm in public relations and communication. So number one is the story. If I feel like the story is lackluster, or I have done my own research and I feel like there's not much differentiation in the product, I'm trying to ask my client contact or the CEO or whoever it may be, tell me about your differentiation, tell me about how you're different, and they do not have a good answer for me that I'm satisfied with, that then I feel like I could go and tell a productive story and have success, I'm not going to take on that client. And that's difficult, especially if I, with the second point, I kind of like the client.
Yeah.
But I mean, I can't promise, especially in an earned media situation where I'm out pitching reporters and trying to maintain my relationships with them and trying to tell good stories with them. If I don't feel confident about that story and how it's interesting, it's just not going to work. I'm not going to help them ultimately. The second is culture fit. And that's, again, not do I like you personally. That's not necessarily what we're talking about. Is, are you bringing me on to trust and respect my opinion? Are you going to integrate me into your organization, realizing that the more I know, the better this relationship is going to be? Do you have time? Do you have time to work with me as an external person? Do you have time to offer me the information I need to help you, right? It's like a help me help you situation. And so if I feel like any of those things are off, if there are red flags, if I feel like marketing generally is not respected within the C-suite, like these are all red flags that I'm just like, okay, this is not a good market opportunity for me. This is not going to be a healthy working relationship.
I am so grateful that you brought up red flags, because yeah, I mean, really and truly, if you are the salesperson or the BD person or bringing in leads to your company, I think you have to look for those red flags. Because like for me, whenever I'm like, hey, so, you know, what are your goals with social media? And they're like, you tell me. I'm always like, oh God, you know, red flag. Like, this isn't going to be good, because yeah, it's basically somebody saying like, I don't know what I want, but I'll know it when I see it. Like, no, you won't. No, you won't, because you don't know now. So you won't know later. And it's just going to make this really hard.
I love that point. Yeah. Tell me what my goals should be. Huge red flag. I mean, also in PR, like PR very often kind of reports up through marketing. So I'm always asking, what are your marketing KPIs? Like, how is marketing getting evaluated? How is it looked at internally? Who's on your side? Are marketing and sales at odds? Like, I want to know. I want to know that T, because it will help me structure the PR program and report on the PR program in a way that is ultimately lifting up marketing, lifting up my client contact and justifying that spend. So that's widely important. And if they don't have marketing KPIs, which like, I have talked to folks that do not have marketing KPIs, it makes PR that much harder. How do we measure the PR program that's going to work effectively? It's really difficult.
Yeah, couldn't agree more.
Did you know that we can deliver awesome marketing info directly into your inbox? Simply subscribe to our weekly newsletter that comes out 3 days a week. You won't miss any of the updates going on in the world of social marketing. Visit socialmediaexaminer.com/getupdates.
Something my husband and I always talk about. So Alex is the chief service officer for our company, but he's also the financial officer. So money is very important to his role. And I'll catch him saying sometimes like, oh, we have too many eggs in the large enterprise, or like in your situation, like we have too many eggs in the tech basket, especially with the enterprise size or the mid sizes. If we lose one mid size or one enterprise or two mid size, we're in trouble. So talk to me a little bit about like that pipeline mix, how it's important to have a mix of like small clients, medium clients, large clients, retainer-based work versus project work. Like, how does that work in the pipeline and what makes it a healthy one?
It's such a good point. And when I was first starting my agency 2 years ago, we had one really large client and like two or three very small clients. And it's really nerve-wracking. It's really nerve-wracking when like that one client, that one big retainer is so helpful and lovely. But ultimately, if that one client goes away, that's trouble. What I will say is it is a goal for my business partner and I, Pasha and I, to have a diversified mix, to have a healthy level of both retainer and project. So given his nature of work in RevOps, he does have more project work. In my field in comms, I just get more retainer work. So that actually just helps us, I think, in a very natural, cohesive way. What I will say is we personally kind of keep like a grid on our time. And that includes like kind of all of our billable hours. We also allocate hours to business development and things like, you know, business maintenance, that kind of thing. Just like general administrative, but we keep track. So if there is an opportunity that comes to us that we feel like, oh, this is like a huge financial incentive, or we really want to work with this brand, like working with this brand would do really great things for our brand and our portfolio, we just kind of assess that. And again, this may not be as transferable because we're a two-person consultancy. We can choose when we want to work more, right? Like if we want to take on a project that we think is really optimal for us at that time, but it does mean that we'll be working more hours. That's a conscious decision that we often make that I know sometimes is not always possible for everyone. But that's kind of how we do it. So the way that we're networking, it's always like we are open to everything. We are open to retainers. We are open to project work. We are open to consultancy hours. Like I have one client that I just like give them 5 hours a month. Like it's very, very high touch. And you just find a way to like balance what they are looking for and their expectations with your expertise.
Yeah, I think that's smart. And, you know, I think part of what you're saying leads into the team that you choose to work with, because you keep saying how you kind of naturally each have this kind of like other side of what we're talking about, which is huge, right? So you maybe got lucky, but if you don't have a partner right now, or you're looking for a partner, or you're looking to hire team members, maybe hire some of those people who can do more retainer work or more project-based work, or in the networking situation, love to go out and schmooze. Or if you're the schmoozer, you know, they're really better one-on-one, right?
Absolutely. The other thing I will say, and this, everyone may do this, this may not be news to anyone, but like, we do have a 30-day out in our clause. Like we can decide to not work with the client anymore, or the client can decide to power down with us. And what I will say about that and pipeline is 30 days knowledge. Like we don't lock clients in for a year or 6 months or anything. It is that 30-day kind of month-to-month contract. And when you are keeping a pipeline active, 30 days is actually a really good amount of time to go back to some of those contacts that you feel like are not as warm, get them warm again, refresh that proposal for someone else. Like 4 weeks is a good amount of time to take your pipeline from one side to the next. And so that for us has really helped. Like when we feel, yeah, when a client's powering down, it is either a bigger client or something we weren't anticipating in our forecast, and we really want to amp up our sales. Like that's very helpful for us.
That makes a ton of sense. And we kind of touched on this too earlier, but I wanted to go further into it. You know, when we're talking about retaining, right, versus acquiring new ones, retention or acquisition, I think it's so important because last year, I feel like we survived and we did better than expected because we worked so hard on retention. It wasn't necessarily acquisition because it was another weird year. So what advice do you give on that balance of acquisition versus retention?
I could not agree with you more. Retainment is the priority at all times. It is so much easier to keep a client than to win a new client. Like, as much as I hate to say that, just in this whole conversation of pipeline and maintaining a great pipeline and building a great pipeline. So my priorities at all times go to existing clients. That includes, like, when I come across sticky situations where I feel like attrition is possible, whether there are budget cuts internally or whether they get a new client contact for me and I'm not really sure where it stands. Like, I almost approach that as a new business opportunity where I'm just trying to be as sticky as possible. I will go outside of my existing services. I will go outside my existing scope of work on good faith that I will try to maintain that relationship. So that's always where my priority will be. Then, you know, when I am working on business development, it really does take a back seat. So in terms of my existing client work, so if I'm working on a massive launch or I have competing priorities with existing clients, I always consider that first when I'm working on new business proposals and projects. And I factor in, I'm like, I may not be able to get to a proposal as quickly because my existing clients have more demands. And that's just kind of how it goes. That's the priority for me and my business.
It resonates so much with me because I have a lot of travel coming up this month. You know, I'm going to be traveling basically 3 weeks out of the month. And it does, it becomes this like anxiety, if I'm being honest. It becomes this little anxious thing where sales doesn't take a pause because obviously I'm still available, but I'm not as available as I am if I would be sitting like here at my desk. And you really do have to understand, A, can I balance the travel and this? If I can't balance the travel and sales, what happens? What's the worst outcome? What's the best outcome? And then if I can make it work, what does that look like? And just kind of defining how that will look, how that will work. I just think it's such a, this is why we have this podcast, because these are the conversations that we need to be having with each other. Because who else am I going to go have this conversation with about, like, well, I have to travel for 3 weeks and I'm the only salesperson. And what happens if sales stuff comes through? Right? Because there isn't a manual. You can't really go Google that answer. So
how will you manage your pipeline with your travel? Like, what are you thinking?
Yeah. So for me, I obviously always put an out of office on, and it just says I'm traveling. I'm speaking at this conference. It'll link to the conference to hopefully give a little bit of authority or thought leadership. And it'll say, here are, you know, X number of ways to get in touch with me while I'm out. You can schedule with me any opening you see. And I have kind of like a link to an open calendar so they can go and pick like a sales consultation call. Obviously, it's not going to be happening on the days I really can't juggle both. But it also gives them, my husband, our CSO and CFO, it gives them his email to reach out to. And it also gives our phone number that somebody could call and reach out to. So I try to give options, but, you know, maybe everybody's not able to give those options. Or if you're a solopreneur and you're traveling, like, who else are they going to talk to? I wouldn't know how to juggle that if it were just me. Yeah.
That's brilliant. I'm taking a note on that, like, especially the calendar link. Like, if you want to link up with me when I get back, like, or already have a meeting on my calendar, here you go. That is so brilliant. Oh, thanks. I'm going to do that. Yeah.
Thank you. Well, because it's like, I want to strike while the iron's hot. And so sometimes, very rarely, but a couple of times somebody has come back and said, hey, I went and looked and there's nothing, you know, is there any way you can meet this week? Like, there was nothing this week, or there's nothing next week. And I will find a way to make it happen. Or if I really can't make it happen, obviously, then I have to be like, I'm so sorry, but my schedule's wonky right now. But I can get to you on, you know, X day and time. And I think that helps. But, you know, I don't know that it's like the foolproof plan.
Well, I do think it helps. And what I will say is something I have to remind myself a lot is when you are hiring an external person, an agency person, you are not paying for and have access to them 40, 50 hours a week, right? And I think like it just has to be kind of a reminder in our field. I personally have my own honeymoon coming up next week and I will be out of the country. I'm going to Antigua and I'm so excited. Yeah.
I love Antigua.
Oh, you've been?
Yes, I love Antigua. You're going to love it.
I'm going to come this after. I will have a lot of questions. This will be the first time since I started my own business that I will genuinely be out of office. I'm not checking my email. I'm like, other vacations I've taken, I put on and out of office, but I'm checking it. You know, as a business owner and I don't have freelancers, like I'm doing everything myself, strategy, execution, sales, you name it. And so I just want to be available. They know I'm not working, but if something really needs to be looked at, I will do it. And this is the first time. And so it's like, it's a little bit nerve wracking. And it has been my business partner that is like, everyone deserves a vacation. Like everyone deserves to be out and they're not paying for you 50 hours a week. You know, you can take 7 business days off and nothing will burn. And that's really important. It's really important to maintain, especially as you're a business owner and you're like kind of on your own. It's something that you got to keep forefront. But I love that idea of like, here's a resource. Here's when I will getting back. If you want to put out a meeting on my calendar, this is your chance. Love that.
I'll take it a step further. I even say, you know, I'll be out from this day to this day. But a lot of people assume that last day you're in, even though you're not, because you're like, I'll be out from, meaning the next day. So what I put is like, I'll be out from, and then I put all emails and phone calls will be returned on whatever that next business day is.
I do that as well. Like returning on this day. Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah. And, you know, yeah, I love that you're going to work on the calendar availability. I used to use Calendly. We'll link that in the show notes for everyone. There's a ton of tools that do this out there, but now I do it through our CRM. But yeah, I mean, I think it's just an easy, great way to be like, I'm not available right now.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
But I still want to talk to you. Here's an open calendar. Go book whatever you want, right? And speaking of technology, I guess, you know, that CRM and Calendly is like technology. How does technology play a role in maintaining your diversified pipeline, or does it?
Yeah, I would say it absolutely does. So we also have a CRM. We use HubSpot. And so we track our pipeline in HubSpot. And that's not necessarily for like personal performance. It's more just like keeping track of pipeline, keeping track of wins. It's honestly really a form of self-competition with myself, and my business partner uses it with himself too. Like we want to kind of try to beat last quarter. Of course, we are talking about macroeconomic trends. It's not always possible, but you know, I think that's the goal. We're both very competitive with ourselves. So we do use HubSpot. You know, the other thing I'll say is technology as a networking tool. I mean, that is primarily, I live in Minneapolis. When I started in tech, I lived in San Francisco in the Bay Area. So in that time, tech was everywhere, right? Like when I lived there, tech was everywhere. You could go to networking events constantly. In Minneapolis, the tech community is smaller. And for me personally, in growing my business, while it is wonderful to network in person with other public relations people, they're not necessarily in my field. And so I use technology. I am part of a Slack communications community called TCN, the Communications Network. So anyone can join it or feel free to message me and get access to it. I'm an admin for that group. And that's been amazing for me for my pipeline and for networking. So networking just does not have to be, again, like that scary situation for me that I indicated earlier of walking into a cocktail hour with a room full of people. Like it can be introducing yourself in a variety of ways, getting your socials kind of up to date, meeting new people. You know, that's how I look at it.
No, I think that's smart. And yeah, the role of a CRM is just so important. It's like you said, like even though I'm the only salesperson, I put every lead into the pipeline. I put all my notes, like someone's going to read it who's not me. Never going to happen. But and yeah, I moved it into like closed won, closed loss with like reasons and all that stuff. It really does help, I think, you know, documenting everything in regards to the pipeline is such an important key factor, I think.
It's so important. It's, again, even if you are the only salesperson, let's just say the lead comes back around 3 years from now and you see it was closed lost, but you don't remember why. And then you remember like, oh yeah, that's right. They were a mess, right?
Red flag.
There were red flags. Like they either, you know, told me I was going to win it and then contracts got weird or whatever. They hired a new CMO in the middle of it and it was a mess. Like that's really helpful information that I personally may not remember in my own pipeline in 3 years. So yeah, even if you are the only person, I cannot speak highly enough about having a CRM and really leaning on your CRM. I use my CRM to notify me to check in with past colleagues, past clients quarterly or whenever it is, like to remember to ask about that person's kid who is really good at hockey, like whatever it is, you know?
Yeah. What about, okay, this is kind of technology, kind of not. It's kind of almost like an industry change or trend, but also technology. Like what happens when AI, right? So like for the past year, 2 years, we've been really hearing more and more and more about AI, right? AI, AI, AI. It's going to change this. It's going to change that. It's going to change all facets of business. Do you change your pipeline strategy when something like that comes up?
In terms of what tools I'm implementing?
Yeah, like do you change your services or do you change how you work within your CRM or anything that, you know, obviously you may change by like using some of these tools, but like any changes that are specific to your pipeline or building your pipeline?
Yeah, that's interesting. I definitely utilize AI for research. So I will say it's probably more of like a time-saving tool for me. We also, like my business partner, Pasha, is like a HubSpot Gold partner. So he is utilizing all of the bells and whistles for us for HubSpot. So any automation integrations, he does integrate them and he is not afraid to do that in order to save us time and money. So I would say yes, yes, and yes for my business development process. You know, I think still the personal touch isn't going away. I don't have something like ChatGPT write out my proposals for me or write emails for me, nothing like that. I want my personality to be almost what I'm selling, like my expertise and the experience it is to work with me, that has to be front and center in the way that I'm selling. But I do not hesitate to help it with things like research to get smart on topics quickly, to get smart on companies quickly. Yes, that's how I personally utilize it.
Yeah, same. How do you know if your pipeline's doing a good job or a bad job? Like, are there any signs or analytics or things that you look for to be like, something's broken here, or oh my God, this is going so well?
Yeah, for me, it's just how many active conversations I'm having at that given moment. If I'm not at least having, again, this is my business may not be maybe smaller, bigger than anyone else's. If I'm not actively having, I would say three lead conversations, it's a sign for me to get on my pipeline, to diversify, to try something new, to email someone new. That's just a number that I'm comfortable with. So I hold myself accountable to that. And for me personally, and again, the way we're talking about tech and the way that we're talking about markets, it can't always be closed deals because it's just not always in my control.
When you say three lead conversations, are you saying like three a week or three a month or what's that frequency?
Three, just active in general. So,
oh, active at the same time.
Active at the same time. Exactly. So it's like, oh, can we circle back in 1 month? Okay, that's one. Like if it's active, right? Is there a call on the calendar? Have I sent a proposal and they're waiting to review it? Are they just integrating the CEO into the conversation and we're going to schedule 2 weeks from now? Like that kind of thing. I personally like to have three active leads at any given time. If there's more, wonderful, chef kiss. If there's two, I don't freak out. But again, one, that's not my preference. Like I just want more at any given moment. I do just want to emphasize this week specifically, I'm very busy with work. I don't know. I think this week and last week, my clients woke up from the holidays and were like, whoa, we need PR right now at this exact moment. So I do not, as my previous comment, I don't have as much time for business development at this specific week. It's not something I stress about. It's just like in general, how many active conversations are happening, how many people are inquiring and will be looking for an agency partner. That's how I kind of identify it.
Now I'm going to steal something from you because I love the idea of having three active conversations, right? It's like, for me, that feels more doable and scalable than like I have to have so many conversations every week. I love that active. As long as I have three, I'm totally stealing that one from you. So we'll now you gave something to me, I gave something to you. We'll just keep sharing.
I love it. I love it. Yeah, it's not always possible to like have three, let's just say net new intake calls a week. Or yeah, it's really, it's a part of the tricky thing about business development is so much is just not in your control, unfortunately.
You don't want to set yourself up for failure. So I really like the three active. If y'all are listening, I think this is a great goal because it feels attainable. And as Suzanne said, she doesn't freak out if there's just two. If there's one, you know, she's got to get on. But I like that. I really, really like that.
If it's one, then it's time I talk through kind of the different ways of that I see pipeline. Oh, what avenue haven't I tapped in a minute? Have I not tapped my LinkedIn? Have I not reached out to a previous client recently? What about that colleague that I really, really enjoyed working with that I still know is doing something cool? Maybe they could introduce me to someone else. Like, it's just a signal. Like, hey, let's just like get a little bit more proactive this week. Let's see if we can drum up a conversation or two.
I really, really like that. And I was just thinking, like, during those lulls, you know, when we have, or I have one active conversation, that's when I need to go to the team and be like, all righty, it's like a carnival, step right up, bring us those leads. When you do, you'll get X. And then if they close, we'll give you the big teddy bear, you know? Yeah. This has been great for me. So thank you. Hopefully it's been great for everybody else watching and listening. I'm sure it has because the pipeline's on everybody's mind right now, right? So can you tell everybody what you're up to, where they can find you, how they can continue maybe this conversation with you, all those good things?
Yeah. I mean, if you're seeing this the next week, I'm in Antigua, so just don't even contact me. In general, shapeandscale.co is my website. LinkedIn is where I'm most active. So finding me on LinkedIn is wonderful. Please connect with me there. Again, even if it's not sales, just networking. I love networking and just meeting new people in this industry, especially fellow business owners. I think the wealth of knowledge we can share with one another, it's that phrase, all boats rise, right? So
yes. What is it? Rising tide lifts all boats.
There's some sinking ships, rising ships. I don't know.
Something about boats, y'all, but it's in a good way.
Everyone's rising. That's all we need to know. Everyone's rising.
Thank you so much for helping the Marketing Agency Podcast community rise. You are wonderful. This has been great. And hopefully we'll have your partner on to talk about some rev ups too.
You would love it. Yeah, I'm happy to connect you too. Thank you so much for having me. This was a blast.
Thanks for listening. If you're new to the show, be sure to follow us. If you've been a longtime listener, let your friends know about the show. I'm at Brooke Sellis on Instagram and Twitter. And for fun, make sure you tag at SM Examiner. Also, be sure to check out our other shows, the Social Media Marketing Podcast and the Social Media Marketing Talk Show. This brings us to the end of this week's Marketing Agency Show. We'll catch you next week as we explore the adventures of marketing agency life.
The Marketing Agency Show is a production of Social Media Examiner.
Want more good stuff? Sign up for our top-notch social marketing newsletter. We deliver it straight into your inbox 3 days a week. Visit socialmediaexaminer.com/getupdates.